Good morning, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Palestine, a weekly 45-minute segment of news from Palestine and discussion of issues relevant to the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's brutal military occupation and colonization of their homeland. This program presents news and analysis from the Palestinian perspective, a perspective we do not get from the mainstream media. We continue to ask our listeners, were you involved last week in the Palestine-Israel peace movement and the Palestinian struggle for freedom from Israel's illegal military occupation and colonization of their homeland? Did you speak out on the atrocities Israel is committing every day in Gaza and the West Bank? If not, why not? There are many ways to get involved. Here are a few examples. One, you could join the Boston Coalition for Palestinian Rights by visiting its website at bcpr.net or by calling 617-491-2313. Two, you could join the Middle East Crisis Coalition by writing to crisismiddleeast@yahoo.com. Three, you could join the Israel-Palestine Task Force of United for Justice with Peace by writing to ujpiptaskforce@yahoo.com. Four, if you are Jewish and prefer to join a Jewish group, there is the Boston chapter of Jewish Voice for Peace, which you can contact either by calling 617-984-0532 or by visiting its website at jvpboston.org or vopj.org. Five, you could go to Palestine and help with the olive harvest or help Palestinians live their daily lives under occupation by contacting the group Boston to Palestine at its website, bostontopalestine.org. Six, you could work with the International Women's Peace Service in Palestine by applying to iwps-pal.org. Seven, you could go to Palestine under the Birthright Unplugged program, or eight, under the Needle in the Groove program by applying respectively at birthrightunplugged.org and needleinthegroove.org. It is Sunday, December 16th, 2007. The pro forma peace negotiations following the puppet show at Annapolis started on schedule last Wednesday, December 12th, at a meeting between former Palestinian Prime Minister Ahmed Qorei and Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni at the Jerusalem Hotel. The meeting lasted about 90 minutes. The Voice of America News reported that the meeting ended in acrimony. Meanwhile, Israel's war of expulsion rages on with obscene military attacks against Palestinian population centers. Barely 2 weeks after Annapolis, more than 30 Israeli tanks moved deep into southern Gaza, demolishing a gasoline station, bombing homes, and killing four Palestinian occupation resistance fighters, bringing the total number of occupation resistance fighters killed by Israel to 40 since the Annapolis talks began. Israel continues to justify its attacks against Gaza's residents as retaliation for rocket attacks against its residents. That justification, as we said many times on this program, stands causal relationships on their head, where the effect of a cause is used as a cause for the cause. The rocket attacks are retaliations for Israel's continuing attacks against Palestinian citizens. Its continuing plundering and demolition of Palestinian homes, and its continuing theft of Palestinian land. All Israel has to do is cease these obscenities and the rocket attacks will cease, and the world community needs to press Israel very hard to stop committing these war crimes. In this context, it is important to emphasize that the rockets landing in Israel are not being fired by Hamas. The rockets are being fired by the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, which is closely allied to the Fatah Party, and by Islamic Jihad, which, contrary to what the media represent, is not controlled by Hamas. On the contrary, Islamic Jihad is a rogue group which rivals Hamas for influence in Gaza and has refused to abide by Hamas's pledge to not launch rocket attacks into Israel. As a result, Hamas had to militarily confront Islamic Jihad and jail many of its members as recently as August of this year. Again, the rockets launched from Gaza, firstly, are not fired by Hamas, and secondly, are in retaliation for Israel's continuing destruction of Palestinian civil society and its military execution of Palestinian civilians. In the West Bank, Israel announced its intention to build an additional 307 housing units in the Har Homa settlement in East Jerusalem, and on Thursday evening, undercover forces in a civilian car invaded the Jenin refugee camp and kidnapped 12 Palestinian civilians. Back in Gaza, Israel's severe reductions of electricity and fuel supplies, along with its closures of all crossings in and out of Gaza, have caused a catastrophic humanitarian disaster. Restrictions on the operation of sewage and water treatment plants have caused sewage pond spillovers, shortages of potable water, and the rotting of food stored in refrigerators. Shortages of medical supplies, food, and consumer goods have given rise to a spiraling inflation, frequently as high as 500% in some areas above their normal price, which is well beyond the means of the now largely impoverished population in Gaza. To those who still cling to the belief that Israel's actions in Gaza are wholly due to the rocket attacks, we refer you to a report which well-known Israeli journalist and author Gideon Levy wrote more than a year ago on February 19th of 2006, soon after Hamas had won the parliamentary elections. Levy reported that the members of a high-level team in the Israeli government agreed at a meeting on the need to impose an economic siege on the Palestinian Authority as a response to the Hamas victory at the polls. Then Prime Minister Advisor Dov Weisglass said jokingly, quote, "It's like an appointment with a dietitian. The Palestinians will get a lot thinner, but won't die," unquote. And everybody at the meeting laughed. Israel's actions in Gaza were planned more than a year and a half ago. Gaza today is a laboratory for the slow mass murder of its entire population under the auspices of the United States. The pace of that murder being determined by what the world community will silently accept. Early this morning we received the following words from Rela Mazzali, Israeli author, feminist activist, and co-founder of New Profile. Quote, "Let's be clear about this. Israel has made Gaza a death compound. The siege is not total. There is no hunger as such in Gaza. There's food, but not enough. There is power, some of the time, not enough. There is medicine in Gaza, for some, not enough. Israel has created a weapon of mass destruction that is hiding in the details, reflected only through precise information and personal stories. Therefore, the siege has been fairly successful at hiding the simple truth. The siege of Gaza is a crime. It is indiscriminate murder. It is a systematic execution of hostages. It intentionally sows arbitrary death." End of quote. In a statement issued last Thursday, the International Committee of the Red Cross called on Israel to, quote, "lift the retaliatory measures which are paralyzing life in Gaza." Notice the word retaliatory. "The Palestinian territories," it added, "face a deep human crisis where millions of people are denied their human dignity, not once in a while, but every day." What a polite way to describe murder. Elsewhere, the committee estimated that 5,000 farmers in Gaza and their families, relying on exports of cash crops like carnations and strawberries, were about to suffer a 100% drop in sales. The harvest season for these important crops started in June, but the embargo on exports has left them rotting in containers at the crossing points. Red Cross spokesman Florian Westphal said that some 823 sick people, nearly one quarter of the 3,568 requiring medical care outside Gaza, were prevented from leaving the country for treatment over the last 6 months. The number of Gaza's sick people who have died as a result of being denied by Israel and Egypt the ability to seek medical help outside Gaza has risen to 37, with the deaths of Nasser Awad Mahra and Mahmoud Muhammad Ali Abu Hassana on Wednesday, and of Badi al-Saidi on Thursday. We dedicate this edition to the people of Gaza, and devote the rest of our time to the existing catastrophic humanitarian disaster there with Mr. Amjad Shawa, Gaza coordinator for the Palestinian non-governmental organizations. Good afternoon, Mr. Amjad Shawa.
Good afternoon, sir.
Welcome to This Week in Palestine. What can you tell us about the current situation in Gaza?
It's a catastrophe. Israel is impacting the siege in Gaza, and day by day there is more killing. For example, this morning 4 people were injured from an Israeli Apache attack on a Palestinian car in the eastern part of Gaza Strip. So the humanitarian condition is getting worse and worse day by day. So the situation is killing more than 40 people died suffering from shortage of medicine, and in time Israel prevent more than 1,000 patients to cross outside Gaza Strip to get the treatment, medical treatment. So we have serious concerns regarding hundreds of patients who are in bad need for surgeries, for chemotherapy, for cancer patients. So the situation is getting worse. And regarding poverty, 2/3 of the population in Gaza Strip under poverty line, which of course reflects on the issue of nutrition for our children and women. It's increased, the percentage is increased to more than 25 to 30. On time that Israel decided in order to impose more restriction and movement towards Gazans people. So the students, for example, students who are supposed to enroll in their universities outside Gaza Strip, they are prevented. Thousands of years of these students. And not to forget the pilgrims who supposed to go to Mecca. Hundreds were not allowed to get out of Gaza Strip to go to Saudi Arabia, to Mecca. So the Gazans are prevented to practice the symbol rights and the basic rights as the axis of movement.
And the Egyptians are contributing to that. No exit to Egypt, for example, for medical help in Egypt?
Yes, for the 6 months, Rafah crossing with Egypt is completely closed. And just to mention something, that Israel is occupying Gaza Strip physically and legally. Gaza Strip is occupied, and there is commitment according to Geneva Convention, to the international humanitarian law, and Israeli occupation forces in order to ease the lives of the people and to find an access for movement for people, mainly the patients. I'm talking about life. I'm not talking about complementary issues. I'm not talking about things as chocolate, as things. I'm talking about basic things. We need medicine. We need food for our children. And the basic issue also that we are losing the hope. And this is very important for the international solidarity movement to understand that people in Gaza are losing the hope. And people who are losing the hope, it's worse than death.
Yes. Yes.
And the conditions, Sheriff, just a second, to show that we are not just living in a prison because people are in prison. The guard of the prison is responsible for feeding the prisoners. Israel is not we are not just in prison. It's worse than a prison. And then the people are in prison know that they are sentenced for a while, for a duration, for a time. But we don't know till what Israel will impose. It's years and years now that Israel is but in Gaza in closure. It's not just the 6 months, but the 6 months is completely 100% closure.
How about the water and sanitation?
We have really problem of the water and sanitation, and I think there is many international reports regarding these issues, and we have concerns regarding the northern area of Gaza Strip. Since the sewage lagoon and the sewage pool in the northern area is full, and we are in winter, and we have concerns regarding the lives of tens of thousands who are living beside this pool, and since it's in need to be fixed, And there was many projects to fix it, but Israel prevent to enter the raw materials, the tubes, the other things which you need to fix it. So this, it will be flooded. I think there will be many, many victims because of that. In addition to the infrastructure in Gaza Strip, Israel prevent to enter any kind of raw materials, cement. There is no cement for 6 months in Gaza Strip. There is no, for example, the last sector, which is the productive sector, the agriculture sector. Now there is no seed, no, they are preventing entering the seeds, the materials which you need for the agriculture sector, and as you mentioned in the introduction, that Israel also prevent exporting, not just the strawberry and coordination, also potatoes, which is supposed to be exported to Arab countries. The losses are tens of millions for the poor farmers. The fishermen, also they are prevented from fishing. The things are getting more, very expensive in Gaza Strip. And time that the poverty is increasing day by day. And the people, you know, the poor people can't feed their children in good way. The basic food, I'm talking about the milk, the meat, the bread, the other things. I'm not talking about Somaliland, I'm not talking about other places. I'm talking about Gaza, which is supposed to be a developmental area. Israel destroyed all the infrastructure in Gaza Strip. We are back hundreds of years. How we can talk about peace right now in time that the Gazans have no access for medicine and food?
Yes, the world has not. The world has just stood by and watched it happen without forcing Israel to allow humanitarian help into Gaza. Have you met with the representatives of the International Committee of the Red Cross?
Yes, we have weekly meetings with them to introduce the cases and to call them to act. And there is good response from the UN agencies regarding the issue of sometimes relief and food, and not to forget the UNRWA, which is the biggest international agency in the Gaza Strip and responsible of hundreds of thousands of refugees, about 80% of the people, the refugees here in Gaza Strip. But also the UNRWA is facing problems regarding the funding, and this approach is getting limited, very limited. So the issue, and in addition of that, the UNRWA itself, the UNRWA school is suffering from the shortage of food, of books for the children. Now we are talking about education. Our children's school, there is no books for them for the next semester. There is no paper for printing.
And the United Nations is not allowed through the closures in Rafah or in...
Yes, just a few trucks carrying food which allowed to enter. Not to be the Israelis' decision, not to let the Palestinians in Gaza die and not to let them live. So we are not dead, we are not alive.
And all of that is being done with American money, with our tax dollars here in the United States.
Yes, and the killing thing, that the conspiracy of silence. There is no real reaction from the international community towards the civilians here. So we are screaming from this darkness. Barely we have cut of electricity because Israel is controlling the electricity and they're preventing Gaza of the electricity. So that we have cut, barely cut for hours from the electricity, and could be increased the hours of the stuff. And regarding the foil, they decreased the amount which entered Gaza Strip twice. And they threatened to have another, the third time to increase the foil.
And the fuel,
the foil, yes.
The fuel, which means that your generators are not working, hospitals are unable to perform operations or help.
We are talking about the basic organizations, and which is mean the hospitals, the ambulance cars, the schools, and the other facilities in the Gaza Strip.
Yes, and all the garbage that cannot be collected and is piling up in the cities.
It's in 360 kilometers in Gaza Strip, there is 1,500,000 are living over this land. It's the highest overpopulated area all over the world.
What would you like to tell the people of the United States, Mr. Hajawa?
Please act for justice. Break the siege. You can do many things. Demonstrate. Get out. In order to show that you are against what's happening in Gaza Strip. People are dying here because they really want peace and justice at the same time.
Yes, what Israel wants essentially is to drive Palestinians out of Gaza and the West Bank. What Israel wants is to...
Yes, to separate...
Is to annex the land. That's right.
Yes.
Take over the land and...
Yes.
And drive you out of there. I have only admiration for you, Mr. Shawa, and for all Palestinians, for your spirit, your indomitable spirit that allows you to stay there.
We will stay here and we'll continue our struggle to get our rights and to have our own state, not just for us, it's for our children and for our next generation. And for sure, I have to tell that we are against killing any civilian.
Yes.
Any honest, innocent civilian, we are against it. Israel, the Palestinian, we are with peace. And we are praying for peace and for justice.
Mr. Shawa, thank you so much for being our guest today.
It's my pleasure.
We send you our very best wishes and our hope for a better future, inshallah.
For all, many thanks to you.
Very welcome. Thank you for being our guest today. You have been listening to Mr. Amjad Shawa, Gaza coordinator for the Palestinian non-governmental organizations. And with this, you have heard firsthand about the crimes that are being committed right now in Gaza, about the deliberate murder that is going on under our noses, and the need to do something about it. We need to break that siege. And that is all we have for today. We wish our listeners a pleasant and restful weekend and look forward to having you with us next week, same time. Until then, this is Sharif Fahm, signing off for now and urging you to get involved now in the good fight for peace with justice in Palestine and Israel. Thank you.